Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Are you ready? Are you sure? Two more nights of sleep until Sunday. The Bears and Eagles are less than 48 hours away, and the Bears will take the field with at least three All-Pros. But will their fourth All-Pro, Eddie Jackson, be able to play? Everybody shed a tear. The campaign era is over. The Bulls waived him after they shipped Justin Holliday to the Grizzlies for two players and two second-round picks. And how about this surprising news out of Philadelphia? Apparently, Jimmy Butler isn't happy with his role on the Sixers. What is it going on? I'm shocked. Not really. It's all today on Sports Talk Live. Let's go. Hello and welcome to Sports Talk Live. It is presented by the Chevy Silverado. I am Layla Rahimi in for David Kaplan, and I'm happy about that today. Here's the panel for today's show. It's going to be a good one. NBCSportsChicago.com, JJ Stankovic is here. Plus, David Haw with me on another Friday from 670 The Score. And from The Athletic, Kevin Fishbane. It is here. We have Playoff Friday.
First time in 8 years.
A really long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's a long stretch. Last time the Bears were played playoff game, Caleb Haney took the last snap, right?
Where's Caleb Haney now?
He is now, he's running a business for, I think, helmets. He's something to do with football equipment. Yeah.
I think the Bears are probably a little more comfortable going into this game.
Think so? Yeah.
Well, they were probably feeling good going into that game,
I felt good about that one until Jay Cutler went down.
And now Jay Cutler is a reality show TV star. I saw that his show is getting picked up for another season.
Ooh, great news.
Isn't that just what you wanted?
I follow him on
Jay
Instagram.
Cutler being like,
no, but this is big. It's a big moment. I mean, it's an exciting week. It's been a lot of build up, but I think people are ready. You know, I think people are ready, and people are hoping that Eddie Jackson's ready, because that will have a lot to do with how well that defense plays against the Eagles.
So let's just reestablish that. JJ Stankovic, and I'm sure Kevin Fishbane as well, both reporting that Eddie Jackson is a game-time decision on Sunday. Matt Nagy says he is cautiously optimistic that he will play. That's not exactly what you want to hear. This is an Eagles team that won five of their last six in order to make it into the playoffs. What is the latest we know about this, and do you think, JJ, that he is going to play?
Yes, and Matt Nagy talked about it today on Friday that he's more comfortable now playing a guy who's not 100% than I think we saw earlier in the year when they held out Khalil Mack, they held out Allen Robinson when they weren't 100%, same with Mitch Trubisky. Nagy said he didn't necessarily have a percentage, but I think they'll test it before the game Sunday, and as long as they don't feel like Jackson will be a liability, I would have to assume he's going to play.
Yeah, you practice twice in a week. I know he was limited, but it's a playoff game. He's got all of Saturday and really most of Sunday morning, early afternoon to get ready for the game. I think that'll help. You know, are they going to have to rotate him with Deion Bush a little bit? Maybe you have that option with a guy like that. But facing an Eagles team that likes to throw it deep, that has an incredible tight end in Zach Ertz, you'd love to have your All-Pro out there. I mean, it goes without saying, but I'm with JJ.
He's got to be healthy, though.
Yeah, my guess is he's able to
play.
That's
the worst thing you could do is try to rush him, and then all of a sudden there's a weakness where in a defense that you really don't have one.
The concern I have, David, is that he's missed some tackles this year. That was kind of one of his major dings coming out of Alabama, that if you get him in a situation where he can't necessarily drive on that ankle and drive into a tackle, and all of a sudden you see Dallas Goedert breaking one downfield, that's where you get concerned. But I do think Kevin's right, that you do have the option to rotate in Deion Bush, who did do a decent job while he was playing for Jackson the last couple weeks.
I feel like the Eagles are very much one of those teams where the phrase making plays in space applies, and that speaks to what you were saying about Eddie Jackson. They also have such a good offensive line. You want everybody available, because if a blitz opportunity happens, this is a team that could pick it up.
Well, it's a good matchup. I mean, the strength on strength. I mean, the Bears front seven and the Bears pass rush against an offensive line that's probably best equipped in the playoffs, in the NFC probably, to handle that. Because I think you look at, you know, their tackles are solid, their center's an all-pro player, their guard, they have one maybe potential weakness, but that's a unit collectively that you feel like if any unit can handle the challenge of the Bears pass rush, it might be this one.
Yeah, Lane Johnson, very, very good right tackle. And, you know, Khalil Mack goes against right tackle a lot. He had zero sacks against them last year when he was at the Raiders. You know, Jason Peters is a veteran. I mean, it's one of the – Vic Fangio said it's one of the best offensive lines they've faced in a long time.
The combination of J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and Aaron Donald had one sack against this offensive line in the last 3 weeks.
And that speaks to everything. I think that's going to be the best matchup to watch, is that Khalil Mack and then Lane Johnson setup. So it is time for our James and Sons Fine Jewelers Diamonds in the Rough. Mitch Trubisky will be the fifth Bears starting quarterback to make his playoff debut as a Chicago Bear. And of the previous four, the aforementioned Mr. Expression himself, Jay Cutler, had the best performance. 272 yards, two touchdowns, and a 111.3 rating when the Bears beat the Seahawks. Let's kick it back. Rex Grossman and Jim Harbaugh both lost their first ever playoff starts. Mike Tomczak was the last Bears quarterback to win his first playoff start. That was back in the Fog Bowl, despite throwing three interceptions. That was a flashback, by the way.
Yeah, they didn't win that game because of the quarterback play. And I think the first two examples I can remember, I mean, look, Jay Cutler played very well in 2010 in his playoff debut for the Bears, but he also had a lot of help, and they were playing a team that they should have beaten. That was, you know, that was maybe a little different circumstance. Rex Grossman did not play well in 2005. That was a defensive loss as well, though, and I think this is entirely different. The Bears don't need Mitch Trubisky to win them this game. He just can't lose them this game. You know, and I think that's been the story all year as this sort of has progressed into a defensive-heavy football team.
What is happening on our screen right now? This is our Anchored Law Sports Talk Live poll question. And the vote right now is 48% in favor of the Eagles for who wins on Sunday.
Come on, you guys don't need to be pessimistic.
Your other options are Bears in a blowout and Bears in a close one. Who is watching this show right now?
It's a reverse jinx situation, Layla. I think you got Bears fans that are nervous. They think if they plug the Eagles in, it gives the Bears a chance. It's all about the mental side of things.
I don't even know what's happening. Go to the screen where it says on the bottom, NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. I mean, listen, I see why people are wanting to pick the defending champions, but we live in Chicago. What is that? Who's voting? Seriously, who's voting? I want to know.
I think there's a lot of anxiety. I think there's confidence at Hallis Hall. I mean, the players believe that this is, you know, what they're going to do. Just going to business as usual. But I do think there's a lot of anxiety. This isn't a city that's used to anticipating a playoff game. The first round means something. And the Eagles are good. They're respected. They're the reigning champions. And they're here not because they, you know, they're here by accident, it feels like, because they should not have been here. They really have won games in the last several weeks to get into the playoffs. They had no business winning.
The Bears have won 9 of their last 10. They haven't lost with Mitch Trubisky as their quarterback since October 21st.
Yeah.
To people saying the Eagles are the hottest team in the NFL, how about the Bears, who have won more games in a row?
Bears have won 9 out of 10. They're the hottest team in the league. The Colts have won 9 out of 10. They're the hottest team in the AFC.
Y'all, I got two words to describe the NFC East because everybody knows I watch it a lot. Dumpster fire. I'm still taking the Bears. You know it too. Don't look at me like that, David. The NFC East was a mess this year.
I'm not saying I'm taking the Eagles. I'm just saying that you have to respect the Eagles. You do respect the fact that they're here, but you know they're the reigning champions. That were, it was looking like they weren't going to make the playoffs. They made the playoffs, and now you feel like they could be. They're going to exhale. Okay, there's no Super Bowl jinx or Super Bowl hangover. They got to the postseason. Dumpster fire. That's a little strong.
No. If you watched,
Cowboys have a good defense. That's not really worthy of dumpster fire category.
They have a good defense, but it's not as good as the Bears.
That defense is good. I didn't say that.
Bears are 0-1 against the NFC East this year.
Giants, the Giants game, and that proves my theory as well. Okay, so now let's get to something even more interesting. How about this? By the way, I want to let you know, former Eagles offensive lineman and NBC Sports Philadelphia analyst Barrett Brooks will join us later to preview this wild card matchup. You won't want to miss what he has to say, but it is time for the end of an era. Everybody, take a moment. The Bulls have waived campaign. Let's flash back to how campaign got here. It's going to be hard, everyone. The Bulls traded Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott, and a second-round pick from Oklahoma City for campaign Anthony Morrow. Does anybody remember Joffrey Laverne?
How could you forget?
I mean, okay, so let's not forget what the Bulls gave up for Doug McDermott, by the way. In 2014, they gave away two first-round picks and a 2015 second-rounder to get McDermott and Anthony Rudolph. So in the NBA, we talk about moves like what Daryl Morey did in Houston, somehow turning Patrick Patterson into a trade for James Harden. This is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, this has got to be one of the most hard-to-figure trades, one of the worst trades the Bulls have made. I mean, campaign was the guy that they thought could be the point guard of the future, and he never was good enough to be the point guard of the present. You could not develop him, you couldn't trust him, and he couldn't shoot. Doug McDermott, ironically, is in town tonight, and he's just a reminder of one of the most regrettable deals that John Paxson and Gar Forman ever made.
Yeah, nice work by the Bulls, though, to try to kind of bury the campaign news with the fact that they did get something for Justin Holliday, you know, with that trade. But, you know, if you're trying to tank, don't you keep campaign?
I mean,
for on your team, get him in the lineup.
No pain, no gain.
There you go.
I knew.
You're welcome.
I knew it was going to happen.
That's my analysis.
I knew we would get a JJ Stankovic pun on this show. You know, they nicknamed him Tank Commander, though. Campaign. Did you know that?
No, did not know that.
Oh, but to me, this really is indicative of the trades that were before it. And there's actually a flow chart leading back to original trades going back to what, 2005 or 6, I believe. The Eddie Curry deal. Here it is. So this thing goes all the way back to the Eddie Curry deal, and you see how many assets were lost in it. And I love the Twitter handle is at NBA Sweatpants. But this is exactly what you don't want to do. Give up the extra draft picks for the guy, and then you trade him again, and you've diminished those assets again. Oklahoma City got such a good deal whenever they got Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott. And then everybody seemed to forget what they gave up for Doug McDermott. And that's why it was such a frustrating deal to me. And Gar Paxson gushed about getting campaign. They had fallen in love with him a long time ago. And by golly, they were going to make it work. Well,
yeah,
it didn't.
Taj Gibson was the guy you regretted, you know, seeing go. I mean, Doug McDermott was a bad draft pick. I mean, in terms of he never really was the player you thought he would be. Campaign was a symbol of everything that, you know, they almost had to get rid of him if they wanted to move forward. He was sort of like reminded you of all the bad deals that have, you know, gone on, as you point, as that flow chart points out.
Yeah, I think, too, you look back at that Doug McDermott deal and you look at the drafts that came after that, and you wonder if there was a time for the Bulls to make that move, to make that trade up in the lottery, the different guys they could have gotten. And obviously at the time, Doug McDermott wasn't the right fit for that team at that time, and you learned a lot about the GM versus the head coach thing. But, boy, oh, boy, you look at that chart, you look where that this team is now. I mean, they're still years away. And you look in how much trust you have in the front office to get the correct assets, to take advantage of what they have and try to figure out the right guys to bring in this team.
The Bears better win on Sunday. Otherwise, we're going to go into a wasteland here.
Manny Machado.
Oh,
hey, man.
Spring training, 50 days away.
Pitchers and catchers in 6 weeks. And you know what? All I have to say is I hated the campaign deal when it happened. As much as I love the Jimmy Butler deal, that's how much I hate the campaign deal. Now let us never speak of this again. All right, coming up here on Sports Talk Live, Nick Foles has already done it once, but will he lead the underdog Eagles to another playoff win, this time in Chicago? Former Eagles offensive lineman Barrett Brooks, my former coworker, joins us next with the latest on the Birds from Philly.
Hey guys, this is Lance Briggs. Make sure to join me, Matt Forte, Alex Brown, and Lawrence Holmes every Sunday after the game for the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago.
The Football After Show is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
49-year-old Dale Sauerbeck of Pittston had to say after police arrested him for burglary.
Is there anything you want to say?
Where you going?
Go Eagles.
All 49-year-old Dale Sauerbeck of
Yeah, how about that? There's no better way to begin this segment than what might be the most Philly move ever. A man's only words as he's being arrested, go Eagles. Dale Sauerbeck was arrested on charges that he stole two guitars from a music store in Pittston, Pennsylvania. That's kind of the mood for this weekend. On that note, we go to Philly and we bring in former Eagle and NBC Sports Phillies Barrett Brooks. Barrett, it's good to see you, and I know you've seen that clip. So is that the most Philly thing you've ever seen?
No, go Eagles. I mean, we stole our way into the playoffs. Go Eagles. It's the perfect compliment on how we went into this season, into the playoffs. So love it, man. Love it.
So see, even you're willing to admit that the Birds winning 5 of their last 6 was a pretty impressive situation.
Oh, no question. You know, these guys have really come together. The big thing is guys started getting healthy. Sproles comes out. He's been a great addition to it. And out of nowhere, here comes Foles doing his magic again. He's putting things in perspective. It's looking kind of like it did last year.
Yeah, none of us can say the nickname that they gave Nick Foles in Philly on TV. I'll let everybody look that up. But how confident are you and the rest of Eagles fans knowing that he's the guy under center backing up Carson Wentz again?
Oh, but you know, it's like he's not even a backup. We're just blessed to have two starting quarterbacks on our team. And Foles is a guy that takes exactly what the defense gives him, which has put him in a better position because now the defense looks as though, okay, you want to give me a 5-yard out? I'll take it. You want to give me 3 yards? I'll take them 3 yards. The next thing is third and manageable. So that's why he's great for what this team has asked him to do right now.
You know, we were just talking on the show, this panel, about the offensive line matchup of Lane Johnson and then facing Khalil Mack. You're an O-line guy. What do you think of that possible matchup in this game?
It's going to be a great matchup. The two faced each other last year, and I think at this point, Johnson had the better of the day. He kind of shut him down a little bit. But he's taking it as a chip on his shoulder because he wasn't voted to the Pro Bowl. So since then, he's played at a remarkable level. He shut down whoever from Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt, whoever they put in front of him. So this is going to be a battle of the Titans. Khalil Mack versus Lane Johnson. And even that old man on the left side, Jason Peters, he wants to reestablish himself as one of the premier tackles in the league. So he has a huge chip on his shoulder also. And he's ready to go against Khalil Mack.
Now, there's so many ties in this game. Matt Nagy, of course, from outside Lancaster, Pennsylvania, he came up with Andy Reid. What do you think of his success this year as a head coach and how he's really represented his home, except for maybe, of course, you know, the game coming up?
Well, if you look at it, you know, they come from Big Red School of emotional intelligence. I mean, I laughed at the owner when he said that about Doug Peterson, but it makes a lot of sense on how they approach this game and how they approach them as being head coaches. They get along with the players. They work very closely with the veteran players on the team, with their committee. They get the pulse of their team. They just understand what their teams need, and they accomplish a lot just by understanding what their players need and want. So, I mean, they brought this team together. It's an us against them mentality. And it worked for the Eagles last year. It's working this year. And you told me he said, go Eagles with the ski mask. That's exactly what they're adopting this year.
Yeah, we all remember the dog mask, of course, from last year. And you said it yourself. You know, the Eagles, we say they snuck in, but you're saying they stole themselves right into the playoffs. So do you think they're getting underestimated in this game just league-wide?
Well, you know what? I think both teams are getting underestimated. In fact, you got a Chicago team that's played excellent. They're probably one of the better teams in the NFC, so they're not getting as much as they should get. But also the Eagles, even though they've been underwhelming throughout the season, health has become a major, major thing for them now because these guys are getting healthier. Sproles coming back. The offensive line getting more healthier. Defensively, on the back end, the young guys have started playing at a better level. All those things are combining to have them have a better season than they had. So Timmy Jernigan comes back, just an extra defensive lineman to come in and make an impact. So they are starting to turn the corner because they're getting healthy and they're getting good and getting hot at the right time.
We appreciate the insight all the way from South Philly. Barrett Brooks, good to talk to you as always.
Nice to see you again, babe. Appreciate you.
Good to talk to you, Barrett. We appreciate it. So up next, some shocking news out of the NBA. We stay in South Philly a little bit. It concerns Jimmy Butler and his head coach. You won't believe what happened. Well, okay, maybe you won't. Maybe you will. But the Guys Bears predictions are coming up next, too.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
We're back on Sports Talk Live. ESPN reports that Jimmy Butler has aggressively challenged 76ers coach Brett Brown on his role in the offense. And according to the story, he was disrespectful in a recent film session in Portland. Our graphics are salty. So if your coach was a jerk, and then your other coach was a jerk, and now your current coach is a jerk.
Maybe the problem's not the coach.
Who's the jerk?
Maybe the problem's not the coach. Nobody in Chicago is surprised. Nobody in Minneapolis is surprised. Pretty soon, Jimmy Butler's going to start talking in the third person. You know, he's uncoachable. He is a unbelievable talent. He's made himself into an all-star, probably one of the top 15, 20 players in the game. But you can't build a franchise around a guy. He's a petulant child. And this was definitely something that you expected. He did it in Chicago. He did it in Minneapolis. He's doing it in Philly. Buyer beware.
You better hope his production doesn't decline at all, because the moment it does, he's 29.
He's a high mileage guy at 29.
He's getting up there, and the moment it does, what team is going to put up with this?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's trying to see how many teams he can play on in his career.
The Todd Zeal of the NBA.
Yeah, the old Brandon Marshall thing. I mean, it is sad to see someone who is that talented, you know, cause these issues with these coaches. But yeah, and we kind of, everyone assumes something was going to happen in Philly.
It's more annoying than sad.
Well, I mean, we all thought.
It's disappointing.
Sad is when something bad has happened to someone good. When somebody creates their own problems and continues to do that, can't get out of their own way, that's just annoying.
Are you sure? Because sad was also used a lot in Twitter in 2016 or so. Statement, sad, exclamation point. But I do think this is disappointing. It's gotten to the point where you say to Jimmy Butler, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
I think
this
David's
is not
mad.
The guy he's supposed to be.
I'm not mad. Heck, I'm thrilled he's gone. the best trade, talking about the worst trade the Bulls made, the best trade they made was when they dealt Jimmy Butler for three assets.
Hands down.
Yeah.
I'm so happy this lower third has stayed up for the whole duration of this segment, by the way. That's
Who
amazing.
Who wrote this? So savage. Ha ha ha. You know what's funny is we may look back at this and say the most self-aware Jimmy Butler was in Chicago.
Well, he changed. I mean, success changed Jimmy Butler. Money changed Jimmy Butler. When Jimmy Butler was a rookie, stapled to the end of the bench, and then he worked his way into the rotation and made himself into a player, that was a story worth telling. That was a really good NBA, you know, small town guy makes it in the big city, that kind of thing. But this, diva.
I have no problem with having a chip on your shoulder when it motivates you, but when it becomes something greater than what it really is, that's when it's a frustrating situation or sad. Hey, guess what, guys? It's time for predictions for this Sunday. Everybody ready? Fishbane.
I got a lot of two-point conversions. I got Bears 22, Eagles 16.
I said 24-16 Bears. I mean, Nick Foles, yeah, respect him, but he's not Tom Brady. The pass rush is going to get to him. Bears going to get some takeaways. 24-16.
23-17 because you guys stole my odd, bizarre score line. So no scoregami, 23-17.
Wait.
Bears.
It's not that
odd. Were you going to go with like 22-18 as well?
I was going to go when Fishbane said 22-16 in the media room at Hellas Hall today, I was like, that was going to be my pick. So I have to adjust by 1 point.
Bears go for two all three times. They miss one. And then Doug Peterson tries to match. It goes for two twice. I've thought about this.
So Parkey hits a field goal.
That sounds like a heck of a prop.
Just kickoffs for Cody. Easy day.
If you're into that sort of thing.
And when it kicks off, make sure you go boom.
Like just like that?
Just boom. With that exact level of intensity.
Yeah. I do think the Bears win this game. I said 24-17 earlier this week.
Is that going to be okay with your Philly people?
They're already
nice
mad at me.
Nice little reunion there.
They're already mad at me, but you know what? I thought that they were going to win the Super Bowl last year, or at least get there. And so I'm good. Everybody's playing with house money in Philly. This is about the Bears on Sunday. Make no mistake about that. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. The playoff show is next. Then it is Bulls pregame live at 6:30. I'm back with lights at 11. Have a great weekend.